I think we're ready for chapter 22, is that right? Parable of the marriage feast. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened livestock were all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good. And the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?' And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" This seems to be telling of a time period over many years that the Lord called men to himself. In verse 3, he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come, thinking of the Israelites. And then at another time, he sent out other slaves, telling those who had been invited, "Behold, I have prepared my dinner and prepared everything." But they paid no attention and went their way, one to their farm, another to his business. And they even seized his slaves, like the prophets, the people telling them to come, and mistreated them and even killed them. And finally, he's talking about himself there too. But the king was enraged, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. And we know that Jerusalem was burned about 37 years after Jesus returned to the Father. So, but this also can apply to since Christ as well, with prophets, evangelists, preachers calling people to God and to his feast for his son. It's typical of several different, it could be said in any time period, but the important thing is that we hear him and that we come. And I was at a wedding yesterday, last evening, and the people that were invited, a lot of the people that were invited came, and there was a lot of people there. And I opened the Bible this morning, and this was the place I was going to read, and it reminded me of the things I thought about at that wedding. And one of the most interesting things I thought about as it pertains to this is that the wedding clothes. I thank the Lord for what we have and for what we've been taught, the Lord has taught us and brought us from and brought us to. I really appreciate you brethren and sisters, and and the way you teach your children to dress and the modesty, and that's a blessing. And I know it can be, we can get proud of that, but it's sure a reminder where we once were and why we left that. But we go to those places as an offering of goodwill, and we want to, you know, be a help and encouragement, support that which is good, you know, prove things that are excellent, but we don't go there necessarily to cast judgment, but it was a reminder, sure was. Verse 11, but when the king came to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes, and he said to him, "Friend," that's interesting, isn't it? Called him friend. Who else did he call friend one time that was his enemy? You remember a time? One of the disciples. Judas, he came meet him in the garden, bringing the Jesus' captors with him, and he came up to Jesus and kissed him, because he told him, "The one I kiss, that's the one." And Jesus said, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" I don't know it in this version, but I know it in the King James. And he called him friend. But anyway, "Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?" And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." So let's strive to be among the few that are chosen. And for your assignment, youth boys and the older boys, I want you to bring a definition of wedding clothes according to this. What are wedding clothes? Pretty important. If we don't have them, we'll be cast out. So what are they?
Last week's assignment is to tell about a time when you said that you were going to do something, like the two sons that you didn't do it. And one time I was supposed to take some whey down the arcades, and I said I was going to do it, then I got called away and other stuff, forgot about it, and had to do it later.
I was supposed to do my taxes, but I talked myself out of it, and I got concentrated.
As far as a chance to do something good but chose not to, sometimes I think I should get my assignment prepared for the week. But then sometimes I just think, "Oh, it's only Monday, I've plenty of time." But that's kind of choosing not to do a good thing when you get a chance.
When I was younger, I remember thinking when Mom would tell me to sweep the floor or do one of my chores, I'd think about it, and then I think earlier than when I was supposed to do it, and I'd think, "Well, I could go do it right now," but then I'd talk myself out of it, and I'd think, "Well, I'll just do it when I'm supposed to." And now I just think, "Well, I'm going to have to do it anyway, so I might as well get it done early when I have time instead of have to wait till I have to do it."
Sometimes when my mom needs to go like get eggs or take something somewhere and I'm left at home, I think, "Oh, I'm going to do some of the chores and surprise her when she gets back." But then once she leaves and I just kind of just don't do it and end up usually playing the piano instead or something.
One time a while ago, the trash needed burnt, and so it got set out, and we were told to burn it. And I kind of thought, "Well, it's between me and my younger brother to burn it." And so I kind of was
So I'm busy with this, and he'll get it done. But it didn't get done till evening. And then it was evening, and I had to be told, go burn it.
This week I was supposed to fix some brakes on car. I was supposed to put them back together, but then I didn't really. I just, for some reason, didn't do it. And Mari was away on a test drive, and then when he got back, I got in trouble.
One time, one of my brothers was asking for something, and I was thinking of going and fetching it for him, and then I pushed it off a couple times until someone else had to do it for me, and I've been working on not doing stuff like that anymore.
When you're at the cell barn working, there's a lot of things that sometimes you don't want to do, like picking up trash, shutting the gate, helping somebody do something. There's a lot of times you'll see somebody doing something and they need help, and you can talk yourself out pretty easy. Oh, I need to go do this, or I can go do this. But you can talk yourself out of helping somebody and doing something good real easy. But it's a lot better just to do it, and you can do your stuff later.
One time, a long time ago, my dad cut a tree down over our lane. He cut it up with firewood. And he told us boys to get all the firewood done and pick up all the sticks and all the little scraps of wood so that the lane would be clear. And we didn't know it, but here he had planned that if we did a really good job, he'd give us each $20. So then here, I guess I think we left a big piece of bark out or something, and so we're not very happy that, because we didn't usually get that privilege. You know, if we did a good job, we'd get paid a little bit, but we had spoiled this one.
A couple weeks ago, I was working on a truck that wouldn't start and trying to figure out what the problem was. And its engine computer wasn't coming on and communicating with the other modules. And so I did testing and all, and everything seemed good. And I was going to check one more thing to see if the sensors were grounding it out. If one of the sensors would be grounding it out, and so Daddy told me I should disconnect them all one by one and see if one of them will do it. And I wanted to just go and test it at the computer and see if the voltage was right there, but I just didn't really want to. But I did then disconnect them, and I didn't do. I missed one sensor, and. And so then after we changed the computer, it still was the same way, so found out that sensor was grounding it out. And so that I was wanting to do it my way, and so I didn't do it right the way he told me to.
We were planning our cable when the first time we did, and I thought I could wait till the others came. But I should have just
come right away. I was thinking about gardening work in particular, and how you're having to cooperate with the weather. And if you got something to plant and you goof off, like, I'm usually pretty consistent. I work and do things when I need to do them. And then every once in a while I goof off and do something. And sometimes it's at a critical time when I should have been planting or working the ground, and then it rains like this, and I miss my chance. So I just thought about how, you know, that's kind of applies to life in general. We need to persist in doing good at all times and not miss our chance. But if we do miss our chance, we need to get back up and keep going. And there are consequences that affect real things. But if we do persist, we'll have the joy of reaping what we've sown.
This kind of is going along with what Moore was saying. Like, I want to do stuff my way, and I generally get stoned, but. Other people might have a better idea on how to do it. I just tend to just do it my way. Sometimes, most of the time, it goes wrong. Every once in a while, I might get it right, but more wrong than just
in my car.